My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about Better Call Saul currently.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about Pimento, continuing the one word ends in O title scheme here. This was written and directed by Thomas Schnaus, and it originally aired on March the 30th of 2015.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much thematic weight is just built up by having everything end with O and how it all got ruined by the Alpine Shepherd Boy?
God. You know, the Japanese art of wabi-sabi.
Yeah. 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 I just can't appreciate it because, you know, great episode.
Mm-hmm.
This Love is a it. Comedy episode that I think all the comedy works.
Yes, it is a comedy episode that has like a finale to it that changes everything and is kind of the opposite of comedic. It is very dramatic.
Yeah. And it's also, it doesn't rely on a character we know to be very competent being incompetent.
Right.
You know, and this is devastating emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Jimmy keeps working on the Sandpiper Crossing case with Chuck's help, but it becomes too big. They cannot handle it. And this is what breaks Jimmy's relationship with Chuck.
Yeah, because they've got to find a way to get more manpower. This involves HHM.
Yep.
And this sets up the main conflict of Jimmy's storyline for seasons 2 and 3, kind of him tangling with Chuck.
Yeah. And it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get Mike doing a bodyguarding job here, which gets through Dr. Caldera. And he gets, we're introduced to a new character, Price.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Wormald, played by Mark Broch. Who is incredible.
Yeah, Mark Broch, I think most famously now for the What We Do in the Shadows show, where he is just so, God, that is just genius casting, making him the energy vampire.
He does a really good job. They do a lot of weird things with it.
Yeah. But also from On Cinema at the Cinema, Kay Strauss, the Yo-Yo Master.
Mm-hmm. His beautiful impersonations and such. I think I first saw him on The Office. Was the first time I saw him, but he's great.
Yeah, perfect.
Like, love him.
I remember way back when we I think maybe when the laser tag was first brought up, we talked about whether or not the Danny, you know, oh, you just need a Danny, you know, somebody who can you can use their business for money laundering, whether or not that is the same, you know, Daniel Wormald, confirmed by the writer. Huh. Yeah. Thomas Schnell says, yeah, same guy.
Interesting. Yeah. Good for Price.
Yeah. Good for Price. I mean,
to get a laser tag.
It was doing bad enough that he needed money laundering. And then by season 5 or whenever they're on the run, the place is mothballed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Rip.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
There's a scene that was shot for this episode, but it was cut for time and because they wanted to use it later.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. This idea, you know, Jimmy seeing his father get scammed.
Right.
And instead of putting it on the DVD, they're like, we could just, I don't know, we do cold opens. We could throw that somewhere. And they do.
Yeah. They do.
Real waste not want not.
It's a real good effect. I like that an awful lot, showing us how different Jimmy's childhood looked.
It's all good content. There's an element, the only part of it that ends up feeling a little bit goofy to me is that it wasn't written as a cold open for that episode.
Right, yeah.
You know, like the last episode, the cold open for that doesn't pay off during that episode, but it pays off in a big way in this one.
Yes.
You know, it's more germane to what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, not that I don't trust them to deploy it at a thoughtful point, but like the idea of just kind of like, oh, this started as this thing, but we're just going to use it later here.
Yeah.
Is interesting.
Yeah. But that kind of shows him like it's literally the beginning of, the third Indiana Jones movie where an older scammer inducts him into the life of scamming.
Let's get into it.
Let's. We have our teaser here. It's very short. Picking up from the end of last episode, where Chuck walked outside without any problem, you know, just because his mind was occupied doing lawyer stuff. Now they are sitting on a bench in this park that is near the house under the aforementioned power pole transformer that is 200 meters north-northwest of here, as you well know.
Currently fighting the Decepticons.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's kind of coaching him through doing this, again, being all-star brother.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, take off your shoes, put your feet in the grass. It feels good.
Yeah. How long has it been since you've done this? Right.
Yeah.
Good advice.
You know, they discuss the case, and, you know, Chuck, Jimmy says, you know, we're going to be able to do it. And Chuck says, you know, confidence is good, but having facts on your side is better.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
You know, he's starting to get doubts about Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, him saying like, don't get overconfident and needing to go back in the house from the thing are connected one to one.
Yeah. So we figured out, the dog from last episode that Mike had doesn't go in the Lewis hole. Mike and Stacy are watching Kaylee play with a new dog. And you know, the discussion that they're having is, you know, is Kaylee going to get to keep the dog? You know, Mike says it's good to have a dog in the house. Right.
Yeah. You know, stops criminals, all that stuff. You know, he's bought all the stuff. And she says, yes, she can have the dog again. I don't know where to place this blame, but Stacy's actress seems like a real jerk about this. Yeah. I guess she can have a puppy. You know, like, just like, those orphans at Misery House will never get a dinner for Christmas. Like, I don't know. They did not do a lot with her, or the actress is not working.
Yeah.
And it could be both. Like, they maybe didn't give her good direction, you know, because they probably didn't know if they were going to do something with her. Like, their whole, like, we maybe find a character and stuff. Maybe they just never found Stacy, but they were leaving her vague enough so they could.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. But with the best will in the world, I can say, like, she's probably thinking, we're having trouble making ends meet. It's, you know, adding a dog onto that might be bad. But
she does have an unlimited cash fountain.
She does, you know, because Mike gets a call. Stuff. He does. Yeah.
Mike gets a call. He's going to, is a lead on a job.
So Jimmy's at the courthouse. Rick Swikert is there, and they're arguing in front of the judge about whether or not Jimmy should have access to his clients at the Sandpiper facility.
Yeah. And this is, you know, Chuck is going to call this out later. This is nickel and dime shit.
Yes.
To waste time. You know, Swikert says, you know, Jimmy is disrupting the resident's routine with his flamboyance. It's civil harassment. And Jimmy says, no, the residents aren't mobile enough to leave. This is all stuff that is known.
Yeah.
You know, something that happens in law is you like just go through the steps, even if they're not going to do anything.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a shitty part about law. Like, yeah. Oh, you can make this argument if you want to. And the strategy of it is like, let's make that argument to stall for time.
Yeah.
Or to wait the other person out, rope-a-dope them.
It's just attrition. It's a way to burn money. I hate it.
Yep. Yeah. It sucks. It's, we live in a very unjust world where truth doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts my heart every single day.
Yeah. we walk in a massive unhealed wound of a society.
Yeah. Like, and it just, where reality just doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
There's just nothing to it. Like, how do you function in that? Like, if something being true doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, what is that world? I mean, that's like, what a sick fucking joke.
Yeah. Are you going to ask me to disagree with you? You can keep going with this. I know you're joking, kind of. Yeah. I know you're playing things up, but I can go this way for you.
No, it is true.
Yeah. You know?
The judge decides in Jimmy's favor. And Jimmy goes to Chuck with the good news. And Chuck goes, well, you know, again, this is a tactic.
Yes.
You know, he's given us tons of boxes of bullshit.
Yeah. Document bomb.
Yep.
That's what this is. Like, you know, and this, like all of this, like all these boxes, this is just deposition requests, right? Yeah. Like, they're going to try and start poking holes in every single member of the class. Yeah.
Yeah. To see if they're mentally fit to do this. Mm-hmm. And Chuck says, we can't do this on our own. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're going to hate this, but for the good of the clients, we have to get this case to HHM.
Yeah.
You know.
And Jimmy does not want to have Howard involved at all. He says, hey, we can Aaron Brockovich this, you know, kind of belying that, you know, just the pop culture version of the Aaron Brockovich story, the Julia Roberts thing. And, you know, Chuck knows the actual story behind that. It's like, no, she had all kinds of like legal support from big firms.
Yeah. It's complicated. You know, it's not something you can do on your own. I think that George R. R. Martin wrote the Aaron Brockovich movie.
What?
Yeah. Huh. I think that might be true. I'm only at like 80% on that.
Okay.
But I think that might be true.
Let me, this is the Steven Soderbergh film written by Susanna Grant.
What is his involvement in that? There's some kind of reference I saw to that. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter.
Produced by Danny DeVito.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking. It was a short old guy. No, I don't know what it was. He made some kind of reference to writing out Aaron Brockovich 2 or something.
Aaron Brockovich 2, the water's
which is a very funny
again.
Joke, right? Like, yeah. Yeah, back in the habit, or like, what does she do? You know, she's suing ghosts in the afterlife. Uh-huh. I don't know. But the it didn't have the cadence of a joke at the time. So I don't know what that's about. Yeah, I might have dreamt it. You know, Jimmy rolls his eyes and says, you know what? You're right. Hail Satan, I submit to the dark side. The fucking tragic irony of this is that, Chuck's like, okay, I won, you know, I'm going to get what I want to work on the law, a case I'm really excited about, and not have Jimmy around.
Right.
But he doesn't realize what Jimmy thinks this means. He says, you know, hey, can you give me an office right next to yours for this? Like Jimmy says, you know, we're getting HHM in, I'm going to come with this.
Right.
You know, I'm going to get hired.
It's his case. Nobody else was in that dumpster with him.
Yep.
Right.
And he's right.
Yeah.
You know, we cut to some time later. He's sleeping. Chuck takes a pencil and an oven mitt outside and goes outside and makes a call on Jimmy's cell phone.
Yes. He is calling Howard to tell him not to hire Jimmy. Like, hey, this is going to come up. We have to keep the charade going. This is just like 2 years ago.
Yep.
And you know, the timing on this, you know, it's unsaid in the series, but Chuck develops the EMS after, possibly as a result of his anxiety over Jimmy, getting
a law degree.
Getting passing the bar. Yeah.
That's why they call it land crab's disease. So we have Mike, he's waiting in an empty parking garage. This is one of the signature scenes, one of the best scenes in the series.
Oh yeah. No, this is and Mike gets so many good moments across both series. I love this so much.
one of the all time best to do it. He's joined by Man Mountain, this guy, Clarence, who I think that's the guy who drives the limo.
Yeah. He's the bouncer for the sex workers in El Camino. And he pops up, a few times after this. This is Clarence.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
Yeah. And then who walks up? But Trevor Phillips himself, Stephen Ogg playing Sobchak.
Who's very funny. Again, a comedy character that works.
Yeah. I fucking love Sobchak.
It's really good.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, you know, what do you guys know about the job? I'm like, you know, not much. He's like, well, you know, they're green, but we're going to make sure things fly right.
Mm-hmm.
I assume we're all heavy hitters. You know, dealing with some of these ethnic types, blood runs hotter. It's physiology. It's historical precedent. Everyone has worked with a guy like this.
Oh, God, yeah. No, a total operator. Like, this is what happens when a Dermot becomes an adult.
Yes, this is an adult Dermot if they don't join the OSI.
Uh-huh.
Like it's not literally you deal with just like a racist, even though we probably all worked with racists. Mm-hmm. We're going with one right now.
Jesus, Gary, no. Yeah,
just kidding. just kidding.
All right.
I was talking about Will.
Okay.
Just kidding about that as well. But the just somebody who is my biggest memory that this reminds me of. Mm-hmm. I've told this story before, but it's almost exactly a fucking Sobchak moment.
Okay.
Because several years ago, trying to make a little extra money, I started doing bar trivia. Mm-hmm. And I did training for Geeks Who Drink, which is the bar trivia thing.
Okay.
First time did training, was fine.
Okay.
Lady was perfectly nice. Second time, there was a big hailstorm in Portland. So it was very poorly attended. I made my way there anyway, and there weren't very many people there. And the guy, it was just my second night, I'd missed a bunch of training. And the guy goes, hey, I think you're ready to just do this.
All right.
And I wasn't, you know, I hadn't done very much of the stuff, but he's just like, you can just do it.
Yeah.
And then he, afterwards he had me write his little thing at the end. Like he had to write a little blog entry about how fun it is.
Oh,
it sucks.
Oh.
Like all this stuff sucks.
Yeah.
But the funny thing, he was like, yeah, you know, I remember when I was as new as you are, we get together about once a year with all the other quiz masters, exchange war stories. And I fucking lost my mind and I stopped doing it. I quit. I'm like, I can't.
I'm not going to be in a room with any quiz masters.
No, I need this $50 a night.
Yeah.
Kind of badly at this point. Like this was like you're working, doing the podcast part-time, working at the escape room, you know, but I had like two roommates. Like I, you know, money was very tight.
Yeah.
And I could not handle, we get together once a year and exchange war stories from doing Geeks Who Drink quiz mastering.
Yeah.
Like get fucked, man. And the dude's a total subject though. Like just like, yeah, we got this. We're all pretty pros here.
Yeah.
You're a fucking quizmaster.
Yeah. Come on, bud. You're a quizmaster. Yeah. Jeez. Now, yeah. I had a manager when I worked at GameStop who was a Sobchak, fancied himself an amateur MMA guy. This was back in the mid 2000s, then probably 2005, 2006, something like that. So like before, you know, like MMA was especially big. But yeah, he'd come in all the time with black eyes and shit. It was constantly talking about his bankruptcy.
Child court. Whenever I say Daily Carry in the dumb guy voice, I'm making fun of this kind of thing.
Here's
my Daily Carry. So he says, what's everybody packing? Mm-hmm. You know, gun wise and Mike says pimento. Pimento. No, what's that? Pimento cheese. They call it the caviar of the South.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, no, your piece.
Yeah. And just like, what kind of gun do you have? And he, you know, says, I've got two guns that I'll tell you about.
I love that.
You know, and rattles off to keep it old school with a 1911, you know, just
gear guy.
Yeah. Soldier of fortune, asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. The client pulls up in a minivan and this is Price. here. Says, yeah, it's not my real name. It's my nephew's name, but I always kind of liked it. I hope everyone's packed up for a road trip. I don't drink coffee, but if you do, there's a diner. Mm-hmm. Now, the agreed amount is the agreed amount. Like, Mark Proch trying to be a tough ass during this is so good.
Oh, it's, yeah. Just so I like the way they reveal him too, you know, because it's like the shitty little car, whatever, it pulls up. It's just it's like a station wagon kind of thing. And then him walking around the side, the camera just kind of like just panning up past his like fresh sneakers. The low key detail I love about him is he's a sneakerhead, right? And then just like it goes up and it's, oh god, it's fucking Mark Proch.
And then the contrast of when he pulls up in the school bus for pimps.
They do the exact same. Shots.
Beautiful. Sobchak says, how about this? You give me and Man Mountain 750 and we send Mike home, Uncle Fester home. He doesn't even have a gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's always that true. He didn't have a gun. You know, didn't think I need it. Mm-hmm. And Price doesn't know what to do. And Mike takes charge.
Yeah.
Situation.
I'll tell you what. If I need a gun, I'll use one of his because he's got so many. He's like, am I going to give it to you? No, I figure I'll take it.
Yeah. He's like, and he goes, okay, I'll make it easy for you. And he's like, what if he made it hard for me? Like, it's one of the most badass thing Mike's ever done. Like, I'm not made of stone. I always, when I think something is badass, I always feel embarrassed. I'm enjoying this because it's badass, but it is fucking badass. Like,
it is a valid access for something to be real cool.
It's real fucking cool. Like, this, it is a dude's rock ass.
Yeah, and also like it is badass in a way that completely dismantles like what a lot of people consider wrongly to be badass.
Yeah,
you know, because like Sobchak holds out the gun, and then you know, come on, Billy Jackoff, take my gun from me, and like points it at Mike's head, which is a terrible idea. And Mike disassembles the gun and then disassembles Sobchak, like punches him in the throat.
Yeah, takes the clip and hits him in the throat.
He naked snake CQCs him and slams him into the pavement.
And I love him like going through like finding the gun, all the guns. Like, guy like you, bet you got an ankle holster.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. He just pulls off and throws him in the garbage.
His disgust, you know, with this. And Mike goes, do you want one of these? The guns. And Man Mountain runs away, which is a little silly that he would run away because Mike wasn't going to get him, but it is very funny. Mm-hmm. Great comedy beat.
Yeah, just this huge guy, just not saying anything, just gone.
They don't need three guys. So Mike says, hey, let's agree. I get the whole 1500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they leave.
They leave Sobchak gasping on the floor.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
But we have our comedy beat, and now we have to have our heartbroken. Very balanced in this episode.
Yes. So Jimmy's given Chuck another pep talk. He's gone to his tailor and had a custom made suit made for him, lined with space blanket material, lined with Mylar.
Yeah.
Just a princely thing to do for your brother.
Ludicrous.
Yeah.
Jimmy grabs the phone from the mailbox and notices his phone is dead. Like, I always turn it off. This is a clue.
Yeah.
At HHM, Howard and Kim orchestrate gathering everyone's cell phones. Yes. Cutting all the lights. And when he comes in, he gets a huge round of applause. Everybody in the building.
Yes. Contrast that for later when somebody's like, wait a minute, I don't know who's that guy in the painting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And also later when he gets the big round of applause where he's forced into retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jimmy, they go to the meeting room. Jimmy and Chuck lay out the numbers and the basis for their case. And Kim gives Jimmy a smile like, yeah, you did fucking good work.
Yeah. And Howard starts talking his own numbers, talking to Jimmy, saying, hey, we don't do referral fees, but you're going to get 20% of the common fund. And we're going to give you now an of counsel fee of $20,000, for the work you've already done.
Yeah. And Jimmy's like, that's great. Mm-hmm. I would like this window. I know it has a view, or like this office that has a view, but that's waste on the clients. They can just go to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's right next to Chuck's.
Yeah.
And Howard has to take the room again.
Mm-hmm. Sends everybody out.
Yeah. And this is amazing. Like, this is really good performance. Howard would take Jimmy here. You know, he's like, you won't work here. We want the case, but we don't want, you know, the case is all we want.
Yeah.
You know, me and the partners have made a decision.
Yeah. And Chuck is just kind of sitting there sheepishly, and Howard can't even like really look at him when he's saying
Look him in the eye. And like, one of the things I love about Jimmy is when somebody mistreats him, he asks why.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. Like that every time that comes up, it's a good, you're going to get a really good fucking scene.
Yeah.
From somebody, even happens later on this episode, but like, just why?
You don't want me? Why in Christ not?
You know, somebody comes here, you offer them partner with this kind of case. This is ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. And Howard says it was just a majority opinion of the partners not to take anybody on, just kind of absolving himself, like not directly saying it is me making the decision to do this.
Yeah. Chuck, you know, Howard, I don't know what to say. I'm very disappointed. Fucking snake. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Howard tries to convince him. It's easy money, Jimmy. There's no reason not to take it. Yeah. And I go, you know, Jimmy says, fuck you.
Yeah.
You don't get the case. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell all my clients what a lying, miserable pig fucker you are.
Though just the way he says pig fucker.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, he really just kind of chews it up in his mouth before he spits it out.
It's so good, given that Howard like deserves this because he's being a patsy of, you know, he's still doing the thing. He's letting Chuck manipulate him. But it is just, yeah.
Yeah. He's just stood up to Chuck, right? Like, it's
good drama, baby.
He's a partner. Excellent drama.
Good drama.
Yeah.
You know, he leaves and Jimmy's just like, what the hell just happened? Mm-hmm. You know, this fell apart.
Yeah. So terrible, terrible news. Yep. And Kim, you know, has heard about this. Obviously, this meeting, you know, they're not getting the case. She goes to Howard's office, you know, saying like, hey, I feel like I should know, you know, why doesn't Jimmy get a seat at the table? This doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And Howard says, you know, a decision was made. Like, there's nothing more to say. Thank you for your input. And she says, well, I have to ask you again. Mm-hmm. You know, this actually is my concern. He's my friend. The way I see it, you're not treating him fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And Howard initially says, you know, did Jimmy put you up to this?
Yeah.
She says, no. And he, you know, slams her. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, he's angry, but he's not angry at her.
Right.
You know, I believe you're way out of your depth in this matter. So the next time you come in here and try to tell me what I'm doing wrong, you're welcome to keep that to yourself because I don't care.
Yeah. And he cannot sit in this.
Yes.
Right. Like, he has, you know, torn into her. We've seen that he is not above mistreating her, but you know, even still, like, you know, she goes, you know, he calls her back in.
Yeah. He's not above mistreating her, but when he mistreats her, it's almost always sublimation.
Yes.
You know, and him putting her in the cornfields after the Kettleman thing felt off to me at the time.
Yeah.
It almost like the kind of writing as you go way that they develop these characters can sometimes feel a little odd.
Yeah.
Right. Like, characters act a little bit odd. Like, he's not above mistreating her, but he's not going to do it for no reason.
Yeah. You know? So he calls her in and says, you know, says, like, hey, close the door. Right. Yeah. Like, he can do this to Jimmy, but like, not with her.
Yeah. He takes her into his confidence. We don't get to see it though, which is great. Mike and Price wait out at a factory. And, you know, Price is like, doesn't know how this is going to work. Like, do we count it? Do I hand him the money first? Do we do it at the same time? Do we do a countdown?
It might say, okay, here's what you're going to do. you count the money. If it's all there, you give him the stuff.
The buyers roll up and it's Nacho and the boys, and Price starts getting nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people. We knew we needed more guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And Patuco's not here. It's just Nacho and some of his guys.
Price counts it out. Mm-hmm. Sees he's, you know, he's $20 short and goes, ah, you know, this is fine. And Mike goes, you know, agreed amount or no deal. You know, like, I love it. And Nacho's like, you're willing to blow this up over $20? Like, he's like, are you? You know, again, great mic episode.
Yeah. You know, he pulls out the bill, but he's got to maintain control of the situation. He drops it on the ground and makes Price chase after it.
Yep. Brutal.
Yeah.
And he leaves, he gets his pills.
Yeah.
Back in the car, you know, Mike asks for his money. He's like, you can pay me now. Mm-hmm. And Price says, you know, how did you know not to bring a gun? He goes, well, you know what? $1,500 is a bargain. Like, I did a lot of legwork. Like, I'm good at crime. I'm serious at it.
Yeah.
You know,
looked into this guy. Determined he has no incentive to try and hurt you or make this into a big scene because he's doing this, you know, he's got a crew.
Doing it on the bottom low.
Yeah, he's doing it. Yeah, it just like his main boss doesn't know that he's involved in this. Yeah, no, so just it's fine. You know, if you're going to be a criminal, you know, you've got to do your homework.
Yep. And, you know, and if you make a deal with somebody, you keep your word.
Yeah. And Price,
like, I'm not a criminal.
Yeah. Martin says, no, I'm not a bad guy.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't say you're a bad guy. You know, I said you're a criminal. Mm-hmm. And Price goes, you know, what's the difference? And we get like a little bit of a cliched line. Like, I've known honorable thieves and evil cops stuff. Like, you know, but basically, you know, you are a criminal. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot deny this to yourself. Like, you took something that wasn't yours and you sold it.
Yeah.
You are a criminal.
And this
it's
is up something
to you
that
you're good or bad.
Yeah. This is something Walter could have probably heard.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, no, you can't justify your way out of this. You know, you're a pencil pusher at a pharmaceutical company. You got a hold of a box of oxys and you took it. So, like, you know, you can, you know, you have to be realistic about what you've done and what you are.
Self-delusion is evil for everyone.
Like, yeah.
Self-delusion is the enemy of everyone.
Oh, it'll get you killed.
It'll get you killed. And it is disgusting to see.
Yes.
Like, I don't know anybody who just, like, sees somebody who's self-deluding and they're just like, no, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, my body rejects it like I'm a dog noticing the thing.
Yeah. You
know? And Price at this point, hearing this, goes, I could probably get more pills. Mike's like, yeah, no, you'll probably buy them, but you should sleep on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go down this road.
Mm-hmm. And we have somebody in the game, another person in the game who really shouldn't be in the game.
No. No. And then it leads to more fun.
Yes.
You know, and bad things eventually as well, but funny shit.
Yeah.
And we're getting Nacho back.
We do.
Yeah. So Jimmy gets home to the nail salon where Kim is waiting for him. You know, she's called him a bunch, left a bunch of messages, and he was out getting liquor.
Yeah. His phone's still dead, right?
Yeah. His phone's still dead. He's, you know, you can share this with me as long as you hear me rant about your boss.
Yeah. You know, he hates me that much. Well, I hate him more. What you drinking?
Yeah. You're just putting on the hat. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but this is a thing where somebody's more mad than they've ever been in their life. Mm-hmm. And tries to come off like a little bit flippant.
Yeah.
You know, and Kim doesn't spill the beans. Kim just says, you know, you should take the deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's the best thing for you. You can take that money and do basically what you were going to do with the Kettleman money.
Mm-hmm.
Actually get your office set up, that office that you wanted to rent, make your own practice.
Yeah. Be your own man. Yeah. And Jimmy's betrayed. And, you know, even you. You're like a goddamn pod person. What did Hamlin promise you? And Kim, you know, can't betray her boss's confidence. That'll have consequences for her. She's just all teared up, you know? And she says, like, hey, you need to take the deal. And then she just goes.
Yep. Jimmy plugs in his phone, his load-bearing phone. The next morning, you know, Chuck gets up and he's happy, like nothing has happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's disgusting. Yep. To see.
You know, just that my life can continue, you know, with my brother servant.
his brother servant is drinking himself into a stupor.
Right.
But things are going great for Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's got a fancy crinkly suit.
Jimmy's been in the living room just like sitting there waiting for him to wake up. He hasn't gone to sleep.
Nope.
He's like, just staring at this doorway for Chuck to get back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
and Chuck's glowing, like, oh, it feels so good to be back at work, and just, you know, that suit was an amazing idea, you know. And Jimmy says, you know, like, oh yeah, well, you know, just like, yeah, I look like shit because I haven't slept all night. I've been up thinking things over. I think I'm gonna take the deal.
Yep. You know, and Chuck likes this. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, but it would have been cool. You know, can you imagine that? Like the two McGill boys storming the gates. It would've been awesome. Chuck goes, yeah, that would have been great, the very best.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck says, well, you know, listen, I might keep trying. I'll try on Howard, see if I can wear him down over time.
Yeah, we'll re-examine in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. you know, and this is great performance on both of them. Yeah. You know, just, oh, I'm so lucky to have you looking out for me. Like the way that Bob Odenkirk lets the sarcasm slip in, and the way that it would be obvious to anybody who wasn't Chuck.
Yep.
You know, like Chuck is just self-satisfied enough to buy this for a little bit.
Yeah. He's self-satisfied and just kind of doesn't listen to Jimmy, really. Like, he only pays attention when he thinks Jimmy is doing something that's going to reflect poorly on him.
Yeah, doesn't care about him.
Yeah.
You know, which becomes text later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jimmy goes, you know what? I did think of something, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's something you could do to change Howard's mind.
Quit.
You could threaten to quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't actually quit, but he'll have to blink because you're a partner. You could tank the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he breaks the masquerade completely. You know, game over. If working with me is what you really want,
right?
It's in your power, right, Chuck? It's in your power.
You could do it. You have this card to play.
Yeah, nuclear option. He says, "I found out you called.
Yeah,
you know, you called Howard. You know, I my phone was dead, which was weird. I called the phone company, and there was a deleted call to Howard Hamlin.
Yeah,
you know, it's I can't believe you fucking did that. Like, you won't go out and get your own milk."
Mm-hmm.
But you will go do this to fuck me over.
Yeah. It's like, how much must you have not wanted to work with me if you would hold a blowtorch up to your ear?
Yeah.
You know, to absolutely do this. Brutal. You didn't want me. It's you. It's been you all. It's been you this whole time.
Yeah.
Tell me why. He wants to know.
Yeah. And here's where Weird Chuck lets it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this resentment he's had forever.
Yeah. You're not a real lawyer.
Yeah, especially once he got the law, or got the bar, passed the bar.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I worked my ass off to get this status, and you're not my peer just because people like you and you're funny.
Yeah. You know, you don't slip into this like a cheap pair of slippers and reap the reward. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy, like, I thought you were proud of me, and I was proud of you when you were working in the mailroom.
Yeah, I thought you had straightened things out.
Yeah, I'm proud that you weren't doing crimes, but you are mailroom level. This is how smart and good you are.
Yeah, because I am the gatekeeper for the entirety of the legal profession.
Yeah, I'm a law elemental.
Mm-hmm. And here we get to the tragedy, you know, one of the many tragedies. I know what you were, what you are. People don't change. You're Slippin' Jimmy. And Slippin' Jimmy I can handle just fine, but Slippin' Jimmy with a law degree is like a chimp with a machine gun. You know I'm right.
Yeah. This line has been memed a bunch. Because like a chimp with a machine gun is funny, but it's sold the hell out of.
Mm-hmm. He's spitting this out. He's been holding on to this forever. Yeah.
Incredible. Michael McKean. And he's just, you know, I'm right. On some level, you know that I am right. Mm-hmm. You know, and he believes us completely. Yeah. And it may even be true that Jimmy, you know, has doubts about himself, about this stuff. And like, he is going to end up using the law for crimes.
Yeah.
And stuff. But there's another reality where he just won the Sandpiper thing and works at HHM.
Yeah, where he just, you know, does, you know, is slightly unethical in the way that a lot of lawyers can be at big firms, right? Like, with the money and status that gives you. Yeah.
People do change, you know, but it's hard. Like, you need support. And having somebody actively working against it makes that damn near impossible.
Yeah. Chuck is right that there is great potential for actual damage to people, for people to get hurt. You know, in Jimmy having access to the power that law can afford him. Right. But like you said, there's a reality where with love and support and guidance, that can happen. And Chuck's inability to look at his brother as a full person worthy of the same dignity that he has ensures that we get Saul. You know, it's one part of, you know, many things that break him down, that break down this person that Jimmy was trying to build himself up to, right?
His jealousy and resentment fucks everything. You know, and Jimmy, you know, is quiet for a few weeks and says, "Hey, like, I got you some milk and some bacon, steaks that you like. It's enough for 3 or 4 days, but after that, we're done."
Yep. You're on your own.
Yep. And he leaves. Chuck tries to yell for him, but he has sped off.
Yeah. And, you know, like, Chuck at the end of this looks like what he is, somebody who's unwell, can't even leave the house, you know, is just shouting, you know, Jimmy.
He looks unwell, and he's sad.
Yeah.
You know, he wants all of the benefits of a Jimmy, but not the responsibility of treating him with respect.
Yeah.
You know,
he wants a brother made. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And it ultimately ends up killing him, mm-hmm. you know, indirectly, but like it ultimately leads to his death.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a piece of shit.
Yeah. World class. You know, like it is so deftly played. It came out of nowhere when I watched this the first time, right? Because they do such a good job of setting up Howard. And you see the cracks. You see the cracks in the boardroom scene mm-hmm. and definitely with Kim, right? But like it just becoming such so much deeper of a cut, right?
Yeah. 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 Great episode. Mm-hmm. We are going to get to a point like where, you know, I talked about the kind of order of the Phoenix-ness of this.
Yeah.
Where we're going to get to the end and like, you know, Jimmy's going to go back and be like, no, I'm going to be a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to hang out for a couple seasons with him kind of being a piece of shit and kind of not.
Like, yeah.
We're going to have a real gradual stuff, but I will watch him versus Chuck forever.
Yes.
You know, what can people do?
If people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us some money to help support the network and the show. Like we said last week, we are going to weekly beginning of season 2 of Better Call Saul. Yes. So you have that to look forward to.
Yeah. Excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the things to do. You've listened to podcasts before.
Mm-hmm.
Join us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Yeah. We would very much appreciate that. Listen to our other shows. You can also tell your friends. You can leave ratings and reviews. And you can join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, just do the opposite of what Chuck does.
Yeah, don't be a Chuck.